What's going on, my friends? Tony Steffen back here with another episode of the School of Success podcast. And today I'm joined by a friend and special guest, Eric Bach. Is it Bach? Did I say that correctly?
Yep.
Perfect. I know I hate when people call me Tony Stevens because it's Tony Steffen. So I always like to make sure I enunciate someone's name properly. And Eric is an online fitness professional who has amazing Instagram, amazing content. And his tagline is, I help busy people look good naked, which is, we're all trying to look better naked, right, man?
Dude, exactly. It's like, we might as well stop beating around the bush. And at the end of the day, is it necessarily just fat loss or building muscle? No, we want to look good naked. That's what it comes back to.
That's exactly right. Dude, I remember I was 18 and it's when I first started personal training. And I asked this woman and she was like 40 or 45. So a lot older than I was. I was like, well, so, you know, just like going through a script, like, all right, Mrs. Jones, what's your goals? She looks at me dead in the eye and doesn't even smile and just says, look better naked. I'm like, ah, sweet. I like it. So tell me a little bit more. I'm a fan of your content, man. How long have you been in the fitness industry for? How'd you start going online and, you know, like what's your story, man?
Yeah, man. So, you know, really getting started, I've been in the fitness industry for about 10 years now. You know, I cut my teeth doing strength conditioning. I worked, you know, I spent a lot of time in Denver, Colorado, worked with a ton of high end athletes, NFL combine training, so on and so forth. And, you know, despite working with many of those populations and kind of thinking that was the direction I'd really wanted to go for a long time as a former athlete, I kept finding myself gravitating back to many of the regular people that I worked with. I worked with a ton of busy guys, you know, a lot of executives, lawyers, attorneys, a lot of guys who were, you know, fresh out of college who, you know, kind of drank and got their beer belly and all that and kind of want to get back to that peak age and that peak physique. And I just found that to be so much more, you know, so much more enjoyable to work with, you know, regular guys, regular people who simply want to have a long-term sustainable approach to building muscle, losing fat, and looking great naked without having to obsess over fitness.
I like that a lot, man. So like, how did you get in? So you were a former athlete. So were you always like just super athletic and super into fitness, or did you have a more like obstacle to get over when you were younger?
Oh man, I wish that was the case. No, but for me, I was the classic late bloomer. And I'll tell you what, when I was 14, 15 years old, I stood a strapping 5'2", 103 pounds, while all my classmates were growing like weeds. So, you know, I was athletic as a kid, you know, before that. And, you know, sports were a huge part of my identity, right? Luckily I grew up in an active family and, you know, I was always around physical activity, but, you know, my body did not want to cooperate. I did not want to grow. And I was just behind everybody else. And everything came to a head one football practice for me, especially. And, you know, generally we're not trying to destroy our teammates during practice, but happened to be running down the field covering a kick. And a guy had broken some tackles. And he had two choices at this point. He could outrun me to the end zone, or he could put his shoulder down and run through me. And at that point, he decided to run through me, despite me being a classmate, being a teammate, and kind of taunted me and gave me shit the entire way to the end zone while I lay flat on my back looking up at the sky. So at that point, you know, that hit deep. It was like I just felt so pathetic, so weak, and it was a situation where I never wanted to feel that perspective again. I never wanted to feel embarrassed physically, mentally, in what I was capable of doing, or the way that I looked, because I had been noticing that, you know, I wasn't confident, you know, in myself and in my physical abilities and my appearance. And it was seeping into every other area of my life. And at that point, you know, I remember kind of peeling off the grass and like, you know, my skin flushed. I was out of breath because I got the wind knocked out of me. I'm like, what are you going to do here? Are you going to say, fuck it and just like walk off the field? Or are you going to do something about it? And not physically do something about it, like start a fight. But it was after that, I had a coach that brought me into the weight room. And from that point on, you know, luckily maturity caught up, and I swear, like, I have not really missed a workout since that point, because the momentum I started to build in the gym, and once everything started catching up, really built really lit a fire. You know, it showed me what I was capable of if I put my mind in one direction. And that's really how I approach every single thing in life now. I reflect back to that feeling of not being enough, of being the path of least resistance, and reflecting back on the path and what it took to build my body, knowing that if I put in the work, if I focus on the correct things, I can really build anything. And that really became, And really that grew into my love for fitness.
I love that, man. I love that. And I can relate to that not only just in my own journey, but you know, back when I personally trained all the time, a lot of people just wanted to use fitness as a way to build confidence, right? Build confidence in the workplace, build confidence in the bedroom with their partner, you know, build confidence with their teammates or classmates, whatever. But a lot of people use health and fitness to build confidence in their own life.
Yeah, it really extends into so many different areas. You know, it's really easy to get bogged down and think, I want to look like this, I want to look like that, I want to have abs, I want to have big arms, I want to have a better ass, like, you know, whatever it is, and however people really start to look at their goals. But once you really start the process, you start to understand why. Like, why is this important to me? Why does this matter? And really, when you uncover that deep down why, that motivating aspect, and double down on making sure that they're able to accomplish your goals, and that you understand what's going to motivate you at the end of the day to continue making this transformation, that's when you can truly, you know, buy into the process, and when you can make fitness an active part of your lifestyle and something that continuously improves your life.
So let me ask you a little bit more about that, because I think that's such an important component. Like, when you get a new client, how do you help them discover their why? Because for most people, they might not know their why, and it might be a little bit like foreign to them to try and think about, like, I don't know why I'm doing this. Because everyone says, I want to lose weight or I want to be healthy, right? But how do you help them go beyond that surface level answer and dig deep and find a powerful motivational why?
You know, for me, that actually begins before I even accept a client into my program. You know, everyone who fills out an application, you know, we go through some questions, we hop on the call, and, you know, through the process of you know, analyzing whether people are going to be a good fit for the program and going through that process, we dig in why. Like, you say you want to lose weight, but why? Like, okay, you want to fit that or you want to wear that swimsuit and look great at the beach. Okay, why does that matter? You know, and we just keep going and truly, truly understand what's going to be the motivating factor, because without the true motivating factor of what's going or of what you truly want to change, it's going to be difficult, because, you know, fitness is not a linear, you know, nothing really in fitness is a linear progression. You know, it's, I mean, ideally, yeah, it would be, you'd consistently make progress at a great clip, but inevitably there's going to be bumps in the road. And for me, if we do not get kind of what these deep down intrinsic motivating factors are out in the open right away in the beginning, people aren't going to be prepared to deal with these bumps in the road that come up. You know, they're going to want to crumble when things get tough. They're going to want to, you know, let one or two bad days of eating turn into three or four bad days of eating and just let things spiral out of control. So it all begins, the coaching begins really on the initial intake of a client and truly understanding what the why is going to be from the beginning. If you're somebody who's listening and you're struggling in determining what your why is, well, the most important thing you can do is just say, okay, well, how's my life going to improve if I do lose this weight, if I do build this muscle? Okay, what's that going to lead to? Okay, so in an ideal situation, you know, what would the perfect day look like? How would I look? What would I be wearing? And what would I be doing? What would this body enable me to do? And when you sit down and really write these things out and truly understand, you know, what these deep intrinsic motivators are going to be and how it's going to truly benefit your life in the future, it becomes so much easier for you to buy into the process and stick to the hard work and the grind. Because, you know, as easy as some people want to make it seem in terms of fitness and getting in shape, you know, it might be simple, but it's not easy. And there's going to be bumps in the road and things you're going to have to deal with. So you need to be able to prepare yourself from the very get-go and understand that this is going to be a process.
I like what you said there, and that's something I've spoken about a lot in terms of like nutrition and fat loss, right? To where, hey, the scale will not move in a linear direction. It's not just gonna, you're not gonna start at 200 and go to 160 in the next 3 months and just without any, you know, plateaus or bumps or, you know, fluctuations. But I like what you said, that all fitness is not linear. So how do you, as a coach with a decade of experience, how do you remind, like, you and I get that, right? We're coaches. I'm a dietitian. You're, you know, are you a CSCS as well? Or did you?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. So, dude, you've got the best certification you can possibly have as a fitness professional, as a personal trainer. So how do you remind Mrs. Jones, who is just so hyper-focused on the scale or hyper-focused on, you know, seeing that linear progress, like, how do you help her understand that, hey, it's normal not to see progress every week?
Yeah, you know, it just comes down a lot of times to a phone call and proper communication based on, okay, how long have you been training? Okay, what type of progress, you know, have you made in the past? And now, kind of looking back at where you began, how long did it take for you to maybe get out of shape or to develop some of these bad habits that we need to break and to fix? Because it's going to take quite a while if it's been, you know, if you've been adding an extra 5 to 10 pounds consistently over the last 5 years to reverse these habits. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of times, like, it does take, I guess, plenty of time to really reinforce what the proper habits are going to be and how long they take to change. So I think it begins by starting off by setting proper expectations. So somebody comes in and, you know, they're asking about, okay, well, I want to lose 10 or 15 pounds by next month. Okay. So when you're looking at that, I think it comes down to setting the expectations originally with your client. So, you know, what's going on through my head, I'm like, okay, what's the maximum rate of fat loss? How can we do this? What have they done in the past? All right, that allows us to get a good, accurate picture. And generally, on this first call, you know, kind of as I mentioned before, I like to kind of create a roadmap to success based on the information that I have. If I've got somebody who's coming in, and you can definitely relate to this from a diet perspective, but they've been consistently under eating for months, if not years, and their fat loss has plateaued and they want to be able to drop some weight, you know, sometimes the answer is going to be, you know what? This might not be able to happen in 3 months. Otherwise, you're going to dig yourself into a deeper hole. You're going to have to reverse diet out of this. But I promise in the end, if you stick to my process, we reverse diet and get that metabolism kind of up and firing full speed, we can diet you back down and you can get results and you can keep long term. So it comes back to really seeing the whole picture. Where did people come from? What are they looking to accomplish in what timetable? And then just putting all the pieces of the puzzle and just laying out the entire blueprint so they can understand what needs to happen. Because the biggest problem and biggest thing that most coaches struggle with is they make one giant empty promise in the beginning because they're desperate to get a client rather than looking out for the best interest of what the client needs. And this is the problem that really popped up, you know, when we see a ton of these, you know, 21-day fat loss cleanse and all these, you know, quick little front-end gimmicks to get people into a system, which, you know, I'm not going to dig into that too much because I think there is some value in getting people quick wins. But on the back end, there can be a lot of struggles when it comes to setting up long-term sustainable healthy habits.
You know, let's talk about that. Let's dig into that a little bit because what you said there, I like what you kind of said at the end there of there is value getting people quick wins. Absolutely. Let's be honest. I don't know how you are, but I'm impatient as hell, right? I'm impatient as hell with anything. So I am definitely of the mindset that if there's a quicker way to do something safely, absolutely I want to do it. But it's about not shooting yourself in the foot for the long run, right? So like if there's something we can do with a client to get a victory under their belt, maybe it's like improving their energy, or we can even take the reverse diet subject. At like, let's say if we can get someone to maybe lose another 5 or 10 pounds, and then like their goal is to lose 50, let's say, right? And maybe we get them to lose more, 5 or 10 more pounds, get them to feel a little bit better, and then take them on the reverse diet and then come back for the remainder 40 or whatever it ends up being. Like, I would say that's probably okay. What are your thoughts on that?
No, I agree, because the biggest reason most people fall off of a diet or really any training program is they don't see results quickly enough. I mean, that does come back to expectation management in the beginning and having a sound plan. But, you know, people want to see a quick win to build that motivation and that momentum to keep going. You know, unfortunately, a lot of people do struggle with poor discipline, and that's where the external motivation of seeing something like a quick number on a scale comes into place. You know, it's easy for us as fitness professionals who understand this to sit back and say, disregard the scale. The scale doesn't matter. It doesn't tell the whole picture. Well, that might be true, but it doesn't matter if people have been force-fed the opposite for 30 years. And, you know, that's the human element where it kind of separates from science. You know what I mean? So it's like, okay, let's get you a quick win. And then here's how we're going to gradually migrate. So, you know, for me, if I can get client buy-in, and that means we got to be a little bit more aggressive on the front end, but I set the expectation that we're going to transfer into something that's going to have a more long-term practical approach and explain why we need to do so, then going to be in a situation where you get both momentum from the client, you get some quick wins, and you get, like I said, the momentum and the buy-in for the long-term process and for what's going to need to happen over the duration. But, you know, if you line up and you start working with a client and you tell them that, like, nope, sorry, we got to reverse diet you right now. You're going to gain 10 pounds immediately over the next 2 weeks. They're going to leave, and they're not going to get that long-term results that they want. So it becomes a lot of give and take when it comes to being a coach. And that comes back to navigating, like, you know, both the art of coaching and then the science of human physiology and change.
I like what you said, managing expectations from the get-go. And I definitely know that even as myself, having, you know, coached throughout the years, that was definitely an acquired skill that you had to learn, that, you know, I would much rather have a client, after I explain everything, we can stay on the reverse diet subject. You know, having explained everything of, hey, look, you're eating 800 calories per day. And I understand, Mrs. Jones, you want to lose weight, but it's just not feasible right now. Like, I can't take you any lower. And you're already doing 5 days per week of workouts. Like, we have maxed out in expenditure and caloric intake, right? So the only thing we can do is reverse diet from here and come back and get that goal. Now, you're right. I know this isn't what you've heard, you know, through the media, because the media tells you, oh, no, just detox, or no, just cut out all sugar.
Yeah.
You know, just whatever. You need a cleanse or you need a wrap. But I would rather Mrs. Jones tell me, like, no, I'm not mentally okay with doing that, than signing her up on some like promise, empty promise, like you said, and then having her, you know, attrition and fall off at the end of the day. So you're absolutely right. And I think that is such a challenge for new coaches, you know, shifting gears, talking about coaching now. New coaches, because they're so desperate for clients. But I think what we can extrapolate from what we're saying here is it's better to be upfront, because the people you do attract into your coaching program, they're going to stick with you in the long run. They're going to have better expectations of results and be feel more fulfilled in their own journey, and thus stay with you longer and see the process through.
Wow. I mean, I don't have anything to add. Like, no, that was absolutely perfect, and I agree 100%, man. There's so much context that needs to be applied to any given method in coaching, and that's part of the problem these days, where it's, you know, everything is built around so much immediate satisfaction and immediate gratification, and, you know, comparing maybe what you're struggling with to everybody else's highlight reels and then trying to get there as soon as you can. You know, this stuff is a process, and man, I don't know about you, but like for me, like this fitness stuff, I've been training hard now for like 16 years, and it's, you can't try to make up and try to match maybe what I'm doing to exactly what you're doing if you're just getting started, or in vice versa. You know, there's a lot of context that needs to be applied to fitness, and especially when it comes to weight loss, especially when it comes to reverse dieting and in some of these other topics.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, man. And something you said also is really, really intuitive there about, it's the Instagram highlight reel of, you're right, people are searching hashtag, you know, whatever, fitness coach or hashtag macro coach. And they're seeing like, oh my God, this girl's shredded and, you know, she looks great and she's doing these glute lifts and it's like, oh, she's killing it. And she's an NPC bikini competitor. I don't look like that. Like, you know, it's demoralizing, but it's like, remember, you're right. Like, you've trained for 16 years. So a novice who's just now getting started with training, well, while they can go to you for information and education, inspiration, that's all good, but don't compare someone else's results to your story, or for anyone with that. Do you see that as being like a huge issue right now with the way social media is, especially with the fitness industry being the most competitive, most overly saturated industry component probably on Instagram?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's huge in terms of having context. And like I said, to kind of hit on the Instagram head, it's, you know, with infographics and as popular as they are, you know, there are some great things about infographics. It can relay some really key principles and make them easily understood for a lot of people. The problem is if you try to apply absolute context to like two pictures with five facts underneath them and then a 300 word caption to explain something that's in depth and varies extremely from person to person. Heck, even look at something like carbohydrates and, you know, the way that your insulin's affected, right? Like, two people could more or less have the same exact food. Some person could have whey protein and the insulin response is going to be, you know, the same as white rice in somebody else. Like, you don't know. There's a lot of different fluctuations in context from person to person. And I think what happens is people take all these different things that they see on Instagram and they apply them all as absolutes, as the one truth, because A, they have not put in the work. They have not had a good coach or guidance. And they don't have an overall understanding of what it takes to really accomplish any of these goals, whether it's fat loss, whether it's building muscle, whether it's increasing performance, or whether it's improving health and longevity. So I think as a whole, and this, you know, this starts with us coaches and practitioners in terms of providing a better service and not just relying simply on surface level things that are going to get likes and create some headway, but also providing the in-depth content that people need to truly understand and become self-sufficient in what they're doing with their health and fitness.
What you just said there was great, man. And it's such I can kind of like tie it up and say that that's why people need one-on-one coaching, because yes, I think you deliver amazing, amazing content. Everyone I have on here does. Cody McBroom, Josiah Novak, Marcy Nevin, right? Everyone puts out amazing content. My stuff's not half bad, you know, in its own
way. I like your stuff, man. It's good. It's good.
I'll pat my own back on that one. But it's like you said, it's broad level stuff because, you know, there's always the what if, or not even the what if, but there's always the exception to the rule. And like you said, whey protein, right? It could totally respond differently in Mrs. Jones A and then Mrs. Sally over here. So it's like, that's why one-on-one coaching is so valuable because yes, of course you're going to get information, but it's going to be 100% applicable for you. And that's why most people struggle because they read so-and-so's post and then they read, you know, this guy's post and then wait a minute, this contradicted that. And then wait a minute, that said something totally different. So now it's like paralysis of overanalysis, right?
Yeah, 100%. And you know, I see this all the time and it was the same exact trap that I fell into, you know, years ago. And for me, it was, you know, and you're probably the same, right? It was articles and blogs that were the massive, massive game changer in terms of information. And those were more in depth, at least, than kind of the way that we're seeing a lot of information put out now. A lot of things are done more for shock value. Like again, there are definitely good coaches putting out things that are also simple and digestible, easy to follow. But there's so much of an entertainment factor tied into everything now because it's savvy marketing. But, you know, even flashing back to when I got started, you know, I consumed every piece of information I could. I would try like all the workouts from like Muscle and Fitness, Men's Health, not knowing that a lot of these things, not Men's Health as much, but a lot of these things were, you know, designed with the competitive bodybuilder in mind, not a 13-year-old kid who doesn't have a base of strength and trying all these different things and wondering why it didn't work and jumping from plan to plan. And, you know, to some extent, yeah, that helps because you learn what doesn't work. But at the same time, you also fall back into that comparison trap of wondering how come what I'm doing is not working because you truly don't understand the process and the level of commitment that it takes to go from point A to point B. You know, what applies to someone who's brand new in the gym does not apply to somebody who's got 2 years of solid experience to 4 years to 8 years where they know their training ins and outs. You know, there's just so many layers of context when it comes to coaching. And I'm all for simplification. But you have to be able to simplify in the context of understanding that there's a fine line between oversimplification and giving people simple, straightforward, foundational skills that they need to develop.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, man. You're absolutely right. What are some of the, and it's funny when you said, you know, like what you did in the past, dude, I was that same exact person. I remember, and you'll laugh because you're a CSCS. I remember when I did, do you know who Mike Mentzer is? And I might be saying his name wrong.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So he was the HIIT guy, right? The single set to failure guy. If for anyone listening, not knowing what we're talking about, I guess the premise of this was like doing anything beyond one single set to all out failure was just like a total freaking redundancy and a total like overkill. Mike Mentzer said like you could train one set to absolute failure, maybe one or two warm-up sets if I remember correctly, but one set, absolute failure, big lifts like deadlifts, squats, rows, bench press, and you are just going to be this freaking weed with fertilizer on it, on your muscles. And I did that shit for like 3 months, and maybe it was just me, but I felt like shit. And I, you know, I didn't feel like it was applicable, and I'm just like, all right, whatever. That was like the quick introduction of like, not everything is for everyone, and not everyone, because again, the people he was training was, you know, high level bodybuilders, whatever, maybe, you know, on some anabolic substances, some something beyond ergogenic aids. But you know what I mean? It was just like we've all been there, and you're right. With Instagram now, it's like, dude, what we used to watch or read were like in-depth articles, but now people's attention spans are so much shorter. So now it's that maxed into a 300-word caption. It can be overkill and it can be oversimplification. And it's just, that's where the value of private custom coaching, it will never be replaced.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, it really ties it all together. And like I said, what works for you might work great for someone else, or it could work terribly. And there's so many different ways to get great results. But you need to understand like what the overarching theories are that are going to help lead that. And you're not going to get that just from looking at surface level content.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, being, you know, a fitness professional and being, you know, the expert that you are, what are some of the biggest mistakes you see people making when they are first getting into fitness? And this could be nutrition, training, just mindset, whatever.
Yeah, so a lot of times people look for the easy road, and I'm a firm believer that everything that you want is on the other side of hard work. And I think that's something that's definitely missing more and more, not to go onto a rant about, you know, society and stuff like that, but just based on the way that things have been positioned really over the years, it's what's the quickest hack? What's the fastest way? How can I do this as soon as possible? Because, you know, people want immediate gratification. And like I said, as someone who runs two businesses, I understand the marketing perspective and I understand the draw, but that aspect doesn't do people any favors when it comes at the consequence of them not being able to buy into the long-term things that are going to help them really succeed. So in terms of fitness, a couple things, you know, for me, focus on big compound movements and focus on building strength first. The big reason you need to focus on building strength first, well, it improves your work capacity for everything else. So if you want to be able to build muscle, well, you need a couple things to be able to build muscle. You have to be able to put the muscles under enough mechanical tension. That comes from creating heavy weight or from lifting heavy weight. And that also improves how many muscle fibers you can contract. You need metabolic stress. So being able to get the pump, and when you can create enough tension with the pump, you know, you create some muscular damage, which is a third component of muscular hypertrophy. So if your goal is to get big and strong, which, you know, lifting weights is pretty much the goal of lifting weights, you need to be able to focus on these basics and get that strong foundation first, because it's going to make everything else that you do so much more effective. That was the biggest mistake that I made, and it's still the biggest mistake that I see all the time, because I get dozens of, you know, direct messages on Instagram, and guys ask me to review their programs, and they're talking about changing programs every 2 to 3 weeks because it's not working yet. Well, it takes a lot of time, you know? For example, like, not to go too big down the research rabbit hole, but even looking at like how fast can you gain muscle? Well, you know, kind of the maximum models, when you look, whether it's like Lyle McDonald or Alan Aragon, 2 to 3 pounds of muscle max per month as a beginner, if you're doing absolutely everything right, which, that sounds like absolutely nothing. If you're a skinny guy who's desperate to try to build muscle and you see the scale go from like 120 to 123 in a month, you think what you're doing isn't working. But if you weigh 150 at the end of the year, you're like, oh, wow, this actually did work. So it's really hard for people to understand that perspective and really have an overall understanding of how slow this process is, because we tend to really overestimate what we can accomplish in a short period of time, but underestimate what we can do over the long period of time. So that would be the biggest one in terms of strength training.
I love that. It's something that my mentor and my business coach, Bedros Cooling, always says, is that most people overestimate what they can do in a year and underestimate what they can do in 5 years. And referencing that model that you were speaking about with the training by Lyle McDonald and Alan Aragon, what does it look like for someone, and I forget the number, but it's like maybe 4 or 5 years, like so someone who's well-versed in training, what's the average rate of muscle hypertrophy that they should expect in a month or a year?
For what level person?
So someone who's like the most well-trained, so like 5 years and above, let's say.
Oh, dude, yeah. Like, so consider if you've been sleeping well, you know, you've had your nutrition on point and training. We're talking about, you know, if you're lucky, a couple pounds a year. Like people that step on stage, maybe 3 to 5 pounds a year at the most, drug-free. I just did a DEXA scan. I haven't been actively really trying to build muscle over the last couple of years. But over that case, I've gotten stronger, but I've added 3.5 pounds of muscle over the course of 3 years. Without, like I said, I haven't been actively bulking at all, and I've had a couple cuts in there, but it's a long process. So like to truly be actively focused on building muscle and dialing all those components in, it's going to take a long time. And it's going to need a constant process of somebody who's more advanced of cycling calories up in order to obviously build muscle, but then also dialing them back down so you mitigate excess fat gain. People tend to dramatically overestimate how much muscle they can actually build as somebody who's natural. By natural, I mean drug-free. You know, you see somebody, you know, run around, you know, playing football on Sundays, and they're 5'9", 210 pounds. You're like, oh yeah, I could be able to be like 195 or 210 at, you know, 8 to 10% body fat. Well, that's a huge person. You know, and that's a genetic elite person that you're comparing yourself to, who may or may not be on performance enhancing drugs. So I think for a lot of people, the perspective on how much muscle they actually need for a certain look is often dramatically over-exaggerated. And just how fast you can build it is often dramatically over-exaggerated, especially when you see like specialization program, add 10 pounds of muscle doing this. It comes back to these, you know, short-term immediate gratification type programs and things that were force fed.
So I'm going to recap what Eric just said there for anyone who thought maybe they heard him wrong, that for someone who's been weight training for a while, we're looking at 3 to 5 pounds per year if everything is right, like your stress, your sleep, your nutrition, right? 3 to 5 pounds per year, per year. So for when people are like, oh, I'm going to bulk up and I'm gaining 10 pounds a month. No, you're not. You're going to gain 10 pounds of fat and like 1 pound of muscle, maybe.
Yeah, it's a long process, man. It's like I said, as an athlete, I was always comparing myself. Like I used to read all the stats on the back of like sports cards and like knew every stat. It was insane. Yeah. Just a nerd, but yeah, I would like see these, you know, measurements that they would put, and anyone who's played football knows that everyone lies on their measurements as well. Like, yeah, the guy who's 6 foot, like, no, he's like 5'10", 5'9". But you kind of see those as like the ideals and then you attach yourself to them. And for a lot of guys, like, you know what? Say if you're like 5'9", 5'10", and you think you need to weigh 200 pounds, there's a good chance if you get lean, you're like 8 to 10% to 12% body fat, you're going to look really, really good and big at like, shit, 160, you know? Sure. Like that's a more natural perspective for a lot of people. And I think kind of that chasing big myth that a lot of us really wanted when we were younger, especially if you grew up seeing Arnold and all these action stars and whatnot, right, can be a real battle. So I think it's really good to kind of reset that perspective and understand, okay, what's maximally possible if I'm still going to have a sustainable lifestyle and if I'm going to be doing this for the long term.
You know, you're absolutely right. And it's so cool to hear you talk about this. Obviously, now you're probably referring mostly to like males who want to be like a certain body weight. And I was that dude. I was that guy too. You know, I was totally that guy. But it's so cool to see the parallel of, you know, talk about male psyche and building muscle and like thinking like, oh, I need to be 220 pounds to be freaking jacked and lean. And then also comparing it to like the female psyche of, with weight loss of like, I need to be a size 4 and 120 pounds and feel phenomenal. And I think what I can really ascertain and extrapolate from what you're saying here is, dude, the number does not matter compared to how you look and how you feel. And the same goes for fat loss. Like I always tell clients, I'm like, what would you rather have? Would you rather like look phenomenal and just feel amazing? And like you put on a pair of pants and you feel great, or you put on a two-piece bikini and you feel great. And maybe the scale is a little bit higher than you ever expected it to be, but you looked and felt amazing. Or would you rather just hit your arbitrary goal weight of, let's call it 130 pounds, but you looked like you didn't look, you know, as confident as you had hoped for, and you felt like shit throughout the day? Would you just walk around with a t-shirt that says, I weigh 130 pounds, look at me? Like, no, of course not. It's about like the feeling associated with being that goal weight. So that's what I always tell people to focus more on, and sounds like you're saying the same exact thing.
Yeah, 100%. Like you have to understand, like, you know, there's a trade-off and a sacrifice for everything that you want to achieve, you know? And if it's to have a certain look or to be able to try to maintain a certain look or body weight, what's going to be the trade-off? What's going to have to go? You know, that's life. It's all going to be, you know, a little bit of give and take, and you have to understand, you know, contextually speaking, what are you willing to give up? And is that truly worth it to be in a peak shape or try to stay in peak shape for a short period of time to get your picture taken, you know? Right. It's just a really important perspective to be able to have overall.
Dude, you're absolutely right. And when you were talking about, you know, getting lean there, I was really in my mind thinking about my last men's physique show. Dude, I'm about 5'10", and right now my natural body weight between 170 and 175. I don't know my body fat percentage offhand, but I competed. I was like, dude, before I did my peak week, I worked with Paul Ravella. So, you know, we did the proper carb up before. I was like 158, man. And it blows your mind of like what you said, like what it actually takes to get you very, very lean, like the level of body fat and the weight you will be in, like how you will look and perform. And B, there is the sacrifice that comes with it. And I wrote a blog post shortly after. I called it, I was shredded and miserable, right? So obviously that was the extreme of a conscious prep. That was 6 months. I got engaged and wasn't able to go out to eat or anything. But that's what most people don't understand. It's like, oh, like they probably say, Eric, I want to be shredded, man. I want to be ripped. You know, and I hear the same thing too. And to me, I always ask like, okay, great, we can do that. But are you willing to do these things? These things are never miss a cardio session or a training session. meticulously track your macros. Because I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't know how to get someone very, very lean, shredded, ripped, whatever you want to call it, without tracking their intake. I can't do that. I can't just tell someone go eat clean or go eat cleaner when clean doesn't work. You know, meticulously track your macros. Be consistent. 9 out of 10 times, probably say no to alcohol and going out and staying out late and not getting your sleep in. And for most people, like you said, it's not worth it to do that, to take a couple photos on the beach and then gain it all back.
Yeah, 100%, man. I mean, you know, I'm going through that process right now in terms of getting, you know, exceptionally lean for a shoot. And this is one of the few times that I really diligently track all my macros, and I have to really be dialed in, you know, whenever I'm trying to get like this, or whenever a client is, like, things like sleep become much more important, where your stress level's at. In terms of macros, what is your split? You have to get very meticulous about these small things, and you're going to have to make a lot more sacrifices in your personal life. And generally, when you do something where you're really trying to peak and get exceptionally lean, whether it's for a vacation or a photo shoot, or you're trying to step on stage, you know, you got to know that there's going to be a lot of consequences on the front end and suffering to get into that shape and to be able to hold that shape for a very short period of time. And it's not necessarily just what happens right then. It's what do you do on the back end? Do you, you know, some people can't get out of that rat race of trying to get leaner, and then they keep pushing a very advanced diet that, you know, can really screw up their metabolism and hormone profiles in the long term. And others, you know, instead of maybe doing a gradual reverse diet, and, you know, this happens to be me, just kind of say, you know, fuck it, and let's go out and have a good time, and, you know, you gain a bunch of fat on the back end. So you just kind of have to understand what the full picture is going to be like, and what are the sacrifices that are going to come with it. And then, are you willing to do the work on the back end? If not, are you willing to accept the consequences?
Dude, that's a great way of summing it up there. And I really, really like how you explained it of, hey, are you willing to do the back end work that no one's talking about, right? That the 30-day cleanse isn't talking about, or the, you know, 6-week get shredded program most likely isn't talking about, of, okay, cool, you can get there, but then what happens afterwards, right? What are you going to do? Are you going to take the time to properly do it and, you know, maintain a decent level of aesthetics? Or are you going to say, screw it, and just, you know, whatever. And either way is not right or wrong, but very, very interesting. Great way of putting it, man. So as we're wrapping up here, I'd love to ask you, what in the fitness industry, and this could be a podcast in itself, I'm sure, what drives you the most nuts? Like, what, like, maybe things you see in coaching or the media or just whatever, like, what are some things that just kind of boil your blood a little bit in the fitness industry right now?
God, where do I even begin? Right. Where do I even begin?
It could be a podcast in itself, I'm sure.
Man, let's just start with the obsession of trying to quantify too many things with a study. Now, this isn't something that a lot of people will talk about, and I'm not in any way saying that, you know, we don't have a need for science, because trust me, we do. But everything that can be studied and proven by science doesn't necessarily apply to the gym. And everything that can work in the gym doesn't necessarily have the components that can always be tested and verified with a study. And to me, the ultimate skill as a coach and the way to best build your body is to have a fine understanding that, you know, building your best body and health is both an art and a science, because there's so much variability from person to person. You know, it's insane to see somebody, you know, like, try to qualify absolutely everything. It's like, oh, this isn't true because, you know, you don't have a study, like, in this situation, or completely disregarding something else because, you know, maybe another study said that this didn't happen. You know what I mean? I think it's a fine line to walk, and you need to be able to know how to use research when it comes to making a point. And you can't just nitpick research to support a point. So I think from the coach's perspective, a lot more coaches need to actually spend time in the trenches and getting the skills that they need with real people and themselves to truly understand maybe what can be proven via research doesn't always apply in the context of using a human that's outside of a lab and is not 18 to 25 doing, you know, 3 sets of 12 with a single leg, you know, leg extension. and that's just a major pet peeve of mine, because, like I said, I truly do validate science and the research that comes behind it, but nothing aggravates me more than keyboard warriors who sit behind and try to nitpick studies or nitpick different philosophies without understanding how the application process applies to real human beings outside of a lab.
Dude, absolutely. And that's going to be the title of this episode. I can definitely already tell that, you know, the art and the science of coaching and getting results, because you're absolutely right. Any good coach will know sometimes you have to break away from the research and you have to just treat someone like a human being. One of my favorite quotes ever, it's from a book called The Body Keeps the Score. And it's about how the body responds after trauma and like traumatic events, both neurologically and physiologically. Great, great book. Have you ever heard of it?
I have not, but that is going on the list.
It's a good one, man.
Feeding my Amazon addiction, man. I appreciate it.
Dude, I know. I'm right there with you. But the quote from the book was, our clients, or in that case, our patients should be our best textbooks, and that you can learn so much from just monitoring your client. And just because a research study says something, but then the human body does something very different, unique, and real world application. That's what it's all about. That's what this podcast is about, is bridging the gap between formal education and real world application. That was a perfect way of putting it, man. So I want to respect your time here, man. This has been absolutely great. How can people connect with you and find some of this amazing content you put out?
Yeah. So if you want to get into the deep stuff, that would be bachperformance.com. We have about 300 articles on the website. I've been writing for years. You'll see a lot of my stuff on websites like T-Nation as well. I've got about 80 posts there. But if you want to get in touch with me directly, the best way is going to be on Instagram. So at bachperformance on Instagram, slide up in those DMs, hit me up with a message. I'm more than happy to chit chat a little bit. I generally do stories and go live every single day, and more than happy to help you guys out. So, you know, reach out at any time. I am here to help you look better naked without living in the gym or having to obsess over fitness.
I love it. I absolutely love it, man. I remember T-Nation a lot back in the day, dude. So that's really cool that your information's on there. So anything else that you would like to add here, sir? You've already dropped a lot of value at this point.
Nah, man, this biggest thing I would say is, you know, success comes from the ruthless execution of the basics, and don't try to make things too complicated, because as soon as you make things too complicated, you second guess what you're doing and you start to hop from program to program and diet to diet. Give your body time, focus on the things that have worked for a long time, you know, eat foods that more or less came from the earth and had a face, and in terms of training, lift heavy shit that moves a lot of muscle and you're going to be in a good spot.
Dude, I love that. You got a lot of good quotables coming away from this, man. So awesome job. So Eric, thank you so much for your time today, brother. I will link to your website. I'll link to your IG. So guys, if you enjoyed this episode, feel free to go follow Eric's content. Like I said, I'm a fan of it. So I know you'll find it valuable as well. And Eric, thank you again for your time, man.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate it. And thank you everyone for listening.